Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry. As we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager, your two hosts along this journey are myself, Garrett Wong, and my co-host, Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Robbie.
Hey. It's a Nitro theme.
Yeah, not everyone knows that, right?
Because that's not, they don't do that anymore. That was the old Johnny Carson version.
The new one doesn't have that background music?
I don't know if they have that song. You know, I'm an older gentleman these days, Garrett. So I don't stay up for the Tonight Show.
Do you remember Johnny, Ethan Phillips, and I?
Yes.
So Neelix and myself, while filming Voyager, we would do our dueling Johnny Carsons.
Oh, yes, you did. That's
Remember that?
Remember that. Yes.
Because one of the things that Johnny Carson would always say, he would say, I did not know that when he was talking to Ed.
That's
right. And so I would walk up to Ethan Phillips and I would say, I did not know that. And so he would do his version and he would go, I did not know that. And so we would go back and forth and do our dueling Johnny Carson. Mine just kind of sounded like Casey Kasem a little bit, but that's okay.
It's good. It was good. I heard it. I heard exactly who it was.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I've been adjusting my microphone.
Uh-huh.
So I'm hoping that I have better sound. I've been told by the technical engineering department of the Delta Flyers that my sound has been a little lacking in quality. So I'm hoping for those of you out there listening to this, that the quality is better. Speaking of technical things, we've switched sides. Do you want to explain that, Garrett?
Yeah. Okay. So depending on who sends the Zoom invite, that person is always going to be on one side of the screen. And typically Robbie has always sent me the Zoom invite, but now that he's in the Utah area, he has not the best internet service now.
I'm kind of in a rural place that doesn't have great internet. So we're depending on you, Garrett, to come through with the fast internet. You're the one hosting, so we switch sides.
It's basically a matter of making the upload reasonable, because if Robbie tried to upload this, it would literally take probably 5 days to upload this.
It's really, my internet
it's recording.
So I think I'm gonna go to the, I don't know if I mentioned this to you,
you mentioned Tesla, right? You mentioned that Tesla has some type of internet.
They're launching satellites with SpaceX, I guess, and all these rockets they're sending up. And they're creating their own satellite-based internet. If you're in a rural situation where you don't have great internet, you can have very high-quality internet. But I also read yesterday that Amazon is now launching their version of this internet.
Wow.
So they're going to have satellites, so you can get your internet through Amazon soon. And that will be satellite based as well. So
has the Tesla option been rolled out already, or is that
been
still
rolled
in the
out, but it's kind of in a beta form,
beta testing form. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you can buy the equipment and you can get the service if you qualify for their beta testing or whatever, which we did.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about doing it. Most of all, don't get confused because we're on different sides for those watching the video.
Yes.
You may think that Garrett is me and I am Garrett, but that is not the case. We are still different people.
Yeah, we wear the same hat, but
we have the same hat on right now. There's a lot of things that could confuse you, but we are still different people, even though we switched sides.
Yes. So please don't be alarmed. There's nothing to worry about.
There has not been body swapping.
No.
Switching. There's no body snatching going on here. It's just we switch sides.
Although every now and then I should just break into a quick yes, ma'am. Like I'm
that would really confuse people.
Yes, it would. Yes. Maybe I shouldn't do that. Yeah. Do you have a go-to impersonation of any celebrity in your life when you were younger? So. Did you impersonate anybody?
No,
I was cartoon never character? Nothing.
No.
Okay. Your sister? Can you impersonate your sister?
No.
I
just never have done impersonations. I know. I wish I did.
I think when
I was very young, I did this. I did the
Carrie McCluggage.
I did Carrie McCluggage for
The Sling Blade. Yes,
the Paramount thing. I did Sling Blade.
Yeah,
it's not my comfort zone. I'll tell you. Actually, now that you bring this up, when I was young, I remember, and young like 6 or 7 years old.
Yes,
a friend of mine did a Daffy Duck impersonation. You know, like whatever that thing. And I remember I was so impressed, and I tried to do it, and I was horrible, and everybody made fun of me when I did it, and so I didn't do it anymore. I was like, oh, I can't do the Daffy Duck. And I would practice. I would try to practice at home, and I couldn't. It was bad. And so I was like, I'm not going to do that then. I don't want people to make fun of me. So I think I have a bit of a block about it.
You do have a block. You had a traumatic childhood experience. So the minute time machines are invented, I'm going to go back in time, and I'm just going to like push that kid and knock him to the
ground.
And then run away. So
there is a syndrome known as traumatic impersonation syndrome.
Well, the thing is,
TIS.
But you will acknowledge this. There's a lot of actors, because we're actors, that have a pocket go-to impersonation. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
It's an actor thing. But now I know the truth of the matter. As a child, that Daffy Duck friend, the friend that could impersonate Daffy Duck, made you also try to do that. And when you got laughed at, it was game over for you.
Yep.
You said never again.
Never again.
Well, my goal is to pull that out of you.
My duck impersonation.
Just you don't have to do the duck. Obviously, that's a sore subject with you. Let's just pick something else.
Very tender. I have TIS around that.
Yes, let's pick Elmer Fudd. Let's pick any other cartoon character or anyone else, okay?
Okay.
Find one. Thank you.
Okay, I'll work on that.
Homework. All right. So this week's episode.
Yes.
Alter ego.
Alter ego. Interesting.
Yeah. Alter ego.
Alter ego.
Yeah, so let's go watch this, okay? And we'll come back and tell everyone what we think of this. Thank you, Patreon patrons, for being our patrons. Please stay tuned for your bonus segment, What Do We Remember? All right, guys, we are back from watching Alter Ego.
It was filled with lots of alter
egos.
I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I really, really did.
All right.
Let's start off with our poetry synopsis.
Let's go with the haiku first.
Here we go. Synopsis for Alter Ego.
Go.
In haiku form. Here we go. Harry is in love. She has her eyes on Tuvok, a stalker from space. She has her eyes on Tuvok. Yeah, that's it. Harry is in love. She has her eyes on Tuvok.
Oh, nice.
A stalker in space.
I like you.
A stalker in space would be another title for Alter Ego.
It could be. Stalker in space. Okay. And here is my limerick for Alter Ego.
Okay.
A nebula full of mystery and beauty. An ensign preoccupied with love so moody. Tuvok to Harry, meditate, retreat. Only with Tuvok, Mirena feels complete. Loneliness is real, so go forth and be happy.
Wow, you get a lot into that limerick.
I squeezed a lot in.
You squeezed a lot in. That was a lot of limerick words there.
It's very poetic, too.
Yes.
It was more of a poetic limerick than a regular limerick, I think. So there you go.
Well, I love it. Good synopsis.
Why, thank you so much. Alter Ego is written by Joe Manosky, directed by Robert Picardo, his directorial debut.
I didn't remember that. I know. At first I was like, because it was very interesting directing. Like there was a lot of shots that were, I noticed that before the credits came up. I was like, oh God, who directed this? Because there's some really interesting stuff already.
Yeah.
So I can't believe I forgot when he directed. He directed two episodes, I think,
I don't think so. I think one. I think he did this one and it was one and done. He just realized the amount of time you had to put in as a director was just too much.
I couldn't remember. Are you sure? I think he directed another one.
Really? Okay.
I think so.
Okay. Maybe. Maybe. Like you were the only one that directed multiple Trek episodes. I felt like, other than, well, Roxanne, right? Didn't she do?
She only did one for
She only did one for Voyager.
I think she did a ton of Enterprise. She was like probably their busiest director. She did a lot of those.
Okay. Gotcha.
Alter ego. Yeah.
Yeah. So we start off on the bridge and we are investigating an inversion nebula, never seen before in the Alpha Quadrant. Very unstable, supposed to burn out in a few years, but this one appears to be centuries old. But right off the bat, we see Harry is very, very preoccupied. You know, he's just off in another world. And that, interesting that everyone sort of pokes fun a little bit at Tuvok in this beginning scene where you and Chakotay and Janeway kind of share
a look. Give her a look. Well, Janeway even has a line that I felt like, oh, this is such a foreshadowing. She says, beauty, and they're looking at this beautiful nebula.
Mm-hmm.
Just they've never seen this in the Alpha Quadrant.
Mm-hmm.
They even say something like, this kind of inversion nebula doesn't last long because it burns itself out.
Correct.
You know, it eats itself, right?
Right.
So she's looking at this beauty. It's so gorgeous. And she says, beauty and mystery, a tantalizing combination.
Yeah.
Sort of looks at everybody. And that's that. And then there's a cut to Tuvok kind of, he says something about, you know, I can't relate to your feelings about beauty or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew immediately with that line and the way that it was cut, it's like, oh, this is going to be about Vulcan feelings. And anyway.
Yeah. And you were right on the money on that.
And Harry is distracted in the very first scene. And in the next scene, we see Harry show up in Tuvok's quarters and Tuvok is playing Kalto. Mm-hmm. And I loved Tuvok's line in this scene. Harry says, you know, something about Kalto is really hard, right? And Tuvok says, Kalto is to chess as chess is to tic-tac-toe. Love it.
Oh my gosh. It's funny when I heard that line, I always think about my first trip to Tokyo, Japan, and riding the subway in Tokyo compared to riding the subway in Manhattan. Right. And I always tell people, I say, the New York subway system is like grade school. The Tokyo subway system is like getting a PhD. So it's so much more complex. Yeah. Because if you imagine a subway system that has multiple levels, it's like multiple levels of subway. So it wasn't just one level, but multiple. And also on certain levels, you can find an entire mall with like high-end stores. Like, oh, there's Ferragamo and there's Fendi. And it's like inside the subway.
Wow, the subway station. Wow.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And I got lost for an hour in the subway. I couldn't find where I was going, me and two friends. And after an hour, we just sat down against the wall. We were so lost. These two Japanese girls that spoke English came up and they said, you guys American? We're like, yes. You guys are lost? We go, yes. And so they told us how to get out of there. That's funny. Crazy. Yeah.
Well, that's how, you know, sitting down in the Tokyo subway is like how Harry felt when he walked into Tuvok's quarters.
Yes.
And he says to Tuvok, you know what? I'm in love and I don't want to be in love.
Yeah.
And it's Marina, this holodeck character. Yeah. And Tuvok again, I love some of the lines in this episode.
Oh, they're great. Tuvok
says, you're in love with a computer subroutine?
I wrote that in too. Great line. Did you notice? It sounds like I have a cold. It sounds like I have a cold this entire episode.
You sounded nasally, very sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah, low energy. That all worked for this episode really well.
Yeah.
Clearly he was distracted and his mind was elsewhere. And
it was. I was very
off
distracted.
His game.
Yeah, definitely off my game. And my hair, very James Deanish, Rebel Without a Cause.
Very James Deanish. Thing. I noticed your makeup looked a little different too.
Yes.
Around your eyes. I don't know, it almost looked like you had eyeshadow.
Yeah.
Or different I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
something
know.
Something was different. I can't put a finger on it either, but yeah. I do see that. Okay, so now we're in the corridor after the request to Tuvok that I yeah, help me get over
this. I'm in love with this computer subroutine. Mm-hmm. We have our opening credits, and then that's when I realized that Bob Picardo had directed this episode. Yeah. Sandra Nelson is the guest star playing Morena in this episode.
Yeah. I completely thought that Bob's episode came in season 4. I didn't think it was even in this season.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There you go.
But you're in the hallway talking with Tuvok, and he's explaining how you need logical deconstruction and there's Vulcan ways to deal with this. Mm-hmm. But I got to say, why is Tuvok yelling at you in the hallway? You guys are walking down the hall and he's talking so loud and people are passing. I'm like, it seems like he could be a little more sensitive to the conversation you're having in public here.
Yeah. I'm going to say, because those lines, I'm guessing they were all looped, right? Those were all,
probably,
you know, those were all voiceover lines. Typically our corridor walk and talks are voiceover lines.
Yeah.
So maybe
Rick Berman did not like the sound of footsteps on carpet. He thought it didn't sound like a spaceship.
Yeah.
So we took out all the dialogue that we recorded when we filmed and we re-recorded it as looping lines or ADR lines. Yeah. It was very tedious to do.
Yeah.
So maybe you're right. Maybe that's why.
And just like Harry was off his game in this episode, Tim Russ might have been off his game at looping, and where he just gave this really extra volume voiceover, which they recorded and
didn't seem to match to me.
Yeah, it was a little off. Yeah, for sure. But yes, he says, you know, you are experiencing the Shanha look.
Chantal Locke. I didn't know what he said, but I was like, love at first sight in Vulcan is Chantal Locke, I guess, or something, whatever I wrote down.
Which reminds me of that comedian from the 90s, Dennis Wolfberg, when he talks about how, you know, he's Jewish, and he talks about when he was in the South, someone tried to say Happy Hanukkah to him, but they said Happy Shaka Khan instead, which is sort of... Yeah, which is kind of like what you got out of that. Yeah. He was experiencing the Shanha look, the engulfment, which I love that. The love at first sight, that sort of puppy love thing. And that logical deconstruction, like you said, is the cure, followed by a regimen of meditative suppression. So this is the Vulcan way to get rid of those feelings of love or emotion.
And he'll continue as in the next few scenes to tell you about all of these Vulcan names that he has for the different people, the way that Neelix interacts with you. Oh, he was, you know, putting down, he was diminishing things.
And there was a Vulcan word. The Suluk is the word for that. Mm-hmm. And then we also talk about the arrival of Kes precipitated the Konar, the feeling of being completely exposed. So he's explaining all this stuff. But before that explanation, which is later in the corridor and the turbo lift, we do go into the resort holoprogram, right? Mm-hmm. So we're actually in there for the first time. And it's Tuvok, it's Kim, it's Neelix, it's Kes and Morena. And my goodness, we see Kes in a bathing suit for the first time.
I know.
What?
Everybody. This whole episode has lots of different looks for everybody.
Everybody.
And on the holodeck, Neelix is there preparing for this big luau that everyone is supposed to attend.
That's right.
That night.
That's right.
And Morena's not around. She's out with Kes. Mm-hmm. We start the scene. She's been giving Kes hydro sail lessons, which I guess is like windsurfing lessons or something,
I guess. Yeah.
Something like windsurfing, maybe, or winds. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And Morena comes up and she asks Tuvok if he wants hydrosail lessons, and he says no.
Right.
I'd prefer a discussion, please.
Yes.
So they have a discussion, and he gets to meet Morena for the first time. We see Harry and Morena together, and and you mentioned earlier when we were talking that you thought this character was old, like 10 years older than you, and a strange love interest that you remembered you know, to choose for Harry, and I agree, you know, at first when I saw her, I'm like, boy, that's a strange love interest. Makes much more sense seeing where the story goes that Tuvok also falls for her. So it needed to be an actress that was, you know, could appear on both sides of this to work for both characters and also play later on, you know, as we reveal the alien side of things. Anyway, so yeah, he wants to talk.
A good line, a great, another great, because we talk about how many great one-liners are in this episode. Another great line is when Mirena grabs Harry's hand and puts it on her pulled tendon or whatever it is. And,
yes, and her calf.
Yeah, her calf. And Harry's just, it's like a knot. Just the way he said it was just, the way I said it, I acted, I like that react. That.
Oh, nice. There were some funny moments in this episode.
Yeah.
Funny moments from you, funny from Tuvok, funny from Janeway, funny from Paris and B'Elanna.
Yep. And there's a lot of setups here, because here's the setup here is when Mirena asks Tuvok and Harry, are you guys friends? Right.
Yeah.
And then Harry says yes, and Tuvok answers no.
Right.
Basically, I respect him, I admire him, whatever, but we're work.
Yes. He says something like, I have fellowships.
Yes.
I have fellowship with people. I have other kinds of connections, but not in the emotional dynamic that you're describing.
Correct.
I don't have friendships.
Yes. But foreshadowing here, because that whole, you know, yes, no thing comes up again and again.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Then we head to the corridor turbo lift. Tuvok and Kim are still talking. That's when we learn that Neelix is the Sulok in this story. Kes is causes the Konar to happen. And then Tuvok basically tells Harry, hey, this relationship will either end in conversion to a more balanced, stable relationship, or it will end in tragic circumstances. And logic dictates a single course of action, according to Tuvok, and that action is retreat. Go, leave, bye, see ya. Now we jump over to the bridge. We have located a plasma strand that is seconds away from igniting. We're all very excited. A subatomic cascade reaction begins, but guess what? That plasma strand completely burns out without causing any chain reaction in the nebula. Chakotay's basically intrigued. Everybody's intrigued. He says, if we investigate this, we may understand what to do, or we may understand
how to prevent
a warp core breach from happening.
A warp core breach or plasma explosions, plasma reactions, things like that. Janeway, actually, she says at one point in there, she says, after this strand sort of ignites and then burns itself out, she says, oh, that's interesting. It's almost like it's the nebula's creating a fire break. And I loved that she put it in sort of relatable terms when she said it's something that Paris does a lot, you know, that putting it in, she said it's like a fire break
in space or whatever, right?
Yeah, so fire break in space, exactly. Yeah. And I love when our characters can do that sort of, you know, take these complicated, you know, sci-fi concepts and sort of put it into 20th layman's
terms. Exactly. Yes, exactly.
So they're going to study this nebula. They're going to, so everybody's excited. This nebula seems awesome right now.
Right.
We'll see about that.
Janeway's leaving the bridge and she just throws that comment that she's sure everyone will be attending.
Neelix's everyone, Nuwak. Right? And pushes
wink,
in
wink,
on Tuvok.
Nudge. Yes.
And he does not look happy. And then it cuts around to like, to Chakotay sort of laughing and Paris laughing.
It's very lighthearted and, you know, ha 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 Tuvok kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So now we leave the bridge and we see another corridor. There's a lot of corridor scenes in this.
There are
so many corridor scenes. This one was a really interesting choice by Bob Picardo, because he chose to reveal Torres. Oh, we see Paris. We see Paris, and it's the camera is over Torres's shoulder, but she's completely out of focus. But because of what she's wearing, it looks like she's nude, right? You see just her shoulders.
Oh yeah, she's got like a spaghetti strap, you know, luau dress on.
Right,
but you only see her bare shoulders.
Right, because there's no focus on her. The focus is on you, on Paris, and you see the bare shoulders. And then all of a sudden, now there's the reveal on Torres that it's actually Torres there.
Yeah.
And you know, Harry is not there. So guess what? Paris is the one. Well, Torres knows where he's at. She says he's not coming. So that shows once again how close Harry and B'Elanna are. She knows everything about what's going on with Harry, you know.
And she looks great. We rarely see B'Elanna not in some, you know, attire for work or something, anything like that. We've never seen her in anything like this. She looks great in her luau dress. Tom talks about he's replicated a 1960s, you know, authentic luau Hawaiian shirt and gives all the details, which I didn't write down, but it was very specific.
Yeah.
And there's a nice scene between those two. You start to feel like, oh, that's interesting. They were,
yep.
Not that they were going on a date, but it ended actually with B'Elanna saying something like, well, you seem pretty sure of yourself, Tom, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he says, yes, I am. And yeah. They're sort of
about little, coming to get me out of the quarters is what you're.
Yeah. Thinking. Yeah. Tom, when you're not there, Tom says, I'm going to go get him. I'll talk him into it. I'll get him to the party. And she's like, oh, you seem very sure of yourself.
Yeah.
But that was sort of a flirtatious foreshadowing to me.
I didn't see the flirt. I saw it as more innocent than a flirtatious foreshadow. I definitely think that it established that there is more camaraderie now, or at least more banter, interesting banter between Paris and Torres. But in terms of like love, you know, connection, I don't think that's yet. That hasn't happened yet, really.
I don't even think they're aware of it. I don't even think they're conscious of it. But I think the writers were starting to play with it a little and see, how we responded. Would we give it a little extra spin now and then?
Right.
And I think in this episode, just to jump ahead a little bit, when Paris and B'Elanna are at the luau later that night, and what's his name? Vorek is there. Is it Vorek?
It's Vorek, and she's really going to meet Vorek. You know what I'm saying? Because she said, let's go pick up Vorek. And you're like, well, whoa, what about Harry?
What about Harry? Yeah. I thought it was kind of, all of us were going together. That's true.
As a group.
It was, as a group. We were all going together.
Yeah.
But there's a moment later on when Tom's sort of caught in the middle of Vorek talking about this beautiful spot to go have a nice dinner meal just with her. And
yeah,
he feels a little awkward, like the third wheel there. And so I don't know. There's some interesting moments. I thought there was a lot of fun little interesting moments. Anyway, so yes, Harry's not there to meet them. So Paris goes down to his quarters and Harry is meditating in the dark.
He is trying to deconstruct the emotional complex by meditation.
Yes.
And, you know, what I took out of this scene was your one line, which Tom says, we've all fallen for a holodeck character. It happens.
Happens.
At this point, I'm like, really?
It does
happen to everybody else? I didn't know it happens to everybody else. Okay, well, thanks. I'm glad. So,
It's funny because you've got Tuvok on one hand going, this is horrible. You've got to retreat. You've got to do this very formal, process, Vulcan process. And then you got Tom on the other hand going, whatever, it happens. Just stick with your routine, dude. He's like, it'll pass, stop stressing over this.
It's almost like if you were to add more lines, Tom would have said, we've all fallen for a holodeck character. It happens. It's not the first time and it ain't the last, Harry. It's going to happen again to you. I mean, it's now there's a bit of normalcy to it, really.
Yeah.
And the more I thought about this, I sat there and I thought, okay, is Harry just bizarre and crazy for falling for a holodeck character? And I started thinking, if this really was the 24th century and the holoprogram was that advanced where you could see, touch, feel, hear a holodeck character, you could really not blur the lines between reality.
Oh, absolutely.
And the holodeck, right?
I think so, because the holodeck's always there. You can go back and continue this relationship.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, this is a game that will end at some point.
Yeah.
This is a never ending sort of, story that you can participate in absolutely realistically. And, but the hard part is if you develop a relationship with a holodeck character, then you can't integrate that into the rest of your life.
No,
I was about to say real life, but
correct.
The holodeck is very real. It's very real. So anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my takeaway too. We've all fallen for a holodeck character, Harry. It happens.
Awesome line number three so far. All right.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards is the one-stop shop for huge savings on new energy-efficient appliances. We carry the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
So now we're back in the resort holodeck program, and
there's a Doc moment.
The Doc moment.
Yes. There's Bob Picardo, our director, with a moment in the show. That's it. I think that's his only moment.
That is it.
He's getting a lei, the flowers from the Polynesian lady on one side. She kisses him on the cheek.
Yeah.
And then he turns to the next girl. He goes, "Your turn." And she does. She gives another lei. He's got a woman on both arms, and then he kisses the next one on the mouth,
on the lips. Oh my gosh! When I saw that, I went, "Whoa! Yeah, what?" I don't.
And
remember
he looked
that.
Like curious about the kiss.
I thought
it was fun for the doc because, you know, here he is. Why not try out some of these experiences he's never had?
Sure.
So. Yeah, he's got two dates, gets a kiss on the mouth. Not a bad night for the doc. And speaking of dates, Janeway and Chakotay run into Tuvok. And Janeway says, you know, "Tuvok, come on. You didn't have to come here. This was like, you seem miserable. You didn't have to come. It wasn't an order. It was just an invitation. Like, relax, have some fun."
Yeah.
But I got to say, Janeway and Chakotay looked like they were on a date.
Yeah, they did.
Janeway takes Chakotay's arm at the end of the scene.
Yeah.
It's, you know, haven't we dealt with this, you know, the Janeway Chakotay romance? Didn't they put a, you know, a nail in that coffin? And Janeway said, "Nope, we can't do that."
Yes,
and here
they
she
did.
Is. Here she is taking his arm and out on a date. You know, it seems professionally inappropriate.
Yeah, but you know, for all the fans that are people who want Janeway and Chakotay to be together, this is the perfect moment for them. They're just watching this going, "Yes, see, yes. I knew it. I was right. They do belong together." So yes, we do see that. We also see that Tuvok is now, his attention is drawn to a solitary Mirena, who's by herself playing Kalto. So of course he's interested. You know, what's going on?
Very clever of Mirena, by the way, because that's what he's doing,
that's
is being isolated and playing Kalto. And she's like me, he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He goes over, sits with her. She psychoanalyzes him. She takes him to the mat there.
She's good. She's as good as he is, basically.
Yes.
Psychoanalysis.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're trying to set yourself apart. You're not wearing the flowers, the lei around your neck.
Right.
You're trying to isolate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
She completely psychoanalyzes him. Yep.
And then that very simple move of taking off her lei to show the solidarity with him. Like, look, I'm also an outsider like you, a loner, you know. And I also like the fact that we learn a little bit about Kalto. Kalto is not about striving for balance, but about finding the seeds of order even in the midst of profound chaos, in the words of Tuvok. So now we know a little bit more about the Kalto game. So that's great. But, you know, at this point, we have no clue that who she is, what she is. We just know that now she's interacting with Tuvok. You know, what happens?
Very flirtatious.
Very flirty.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. We also cut over to B'Elanna and Tom.
Yes.
And Vorik there. Surveilling the place and then Vork steals B'Elanna away. Yeah. He's reserved a Lakeview table.
Right.
And I get dumped.
Well, hold on. But the funny thing is when he says, "I reserved a spot for us," remember with that conversation we had in your perfect view, B'Elanna has no clue what Vork is talking about. She's like, "What? So
I love that little scene because I was the way it was staged, Paris was in the middle of these two,
right?
And my head kept going,
back. Like a tennis match.
Yeah, like back and forth. And my face, I was really happy with Tom Paris generally in this episode. I mean, I didn't have a ton to do, but I was, you know, sprinkled throughout, and I love the scenes. They were fun. They were,
yeah,
you know, spicy. They were, you know, yeah, it was a light touch.
Yeah.
You know, to play against the down Harry and yeah. the Vulcan who's, you know, isolating himself mm-hmm. and struggling mm-hmm. and it was, yeah, the tennis match moment with the with Vork and B'Elanna was fun. And then they walk off and I had sort of this like, what just happened?
There yeah. goes your future wife with the Vulcan. See ya. Okay.
That's right.
So then we flash forward to the resort program much later, because now the only people left are Tuvok and Mirena. And
yep.
that's when she makes her move on Tuvok, who repels her advances. She doesn't make any progress.
Well, you missed a moment where Harry comes in and talks to Paris for a moment. And Paris Paris is like, so B'Elanna just dumped me and Vorik. Mm-hmm. So I get dumped. And then you come in.
Or you walk to me, I think.
Or I walk to you, but mm-hmm. we see each other. And I'm like, hey, let's go get some food or a drink or something. And you're like, no, you see Mirena and Tuvok.
Mm-hmm.
No, I've got to go take care of something. And and you dump me too.
I do.
So
you got double dumped.
I got double dumped at the luau, dude. And the doctor got double kissed and I got double dumped. It was not a good night for Paris.
This is an episode of people liking other people and not getting any response from it. So basically, Vorik in love with Torres, but not really getting anything from Torres.
No.
Mirena, or Harry in love with Mirena and not really not getting good. Anything from Mirena. And Mirena in love with Tuvok and not getting... So it's unrequited. Is it unrequited or unrequited? I don't know how you...
Unrequited love.
Unrequited but
doctor,
love.
But the doctor got all the requiting.
As the director of the episode, he's like, no love for you, Tuvok, no love for you, Mirena, no love for you, Vorik, and no love for you, Harry Kim, but for the doctor, love number one, love number two.
That's right.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Yeah.
The perks of being the director.
The perks. yes, so Harry goes over and is not happy.
No,
not at all.
No. And he leaves. He just kind of storms out, takes off the lay, you know, he's gone.
Yeah. And Tuvok and Mirena stay. They're the last ones at the party.
Mm-mm.
And they have this moment you were just talking about. And they have a moment where I thought they were going to kiss. Like, I've never seen Tuvok so, you know, infatuated as this episode. He really, really is affected by this, attracted to this woman. He's the last one to leave the party because he walks out and he says, a computer. Shut down the holodeck. So he stayed till the end, long after everybody else, which is mm-hmm. funny because he didn't even want to go in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, I remember I had a similar parallel in my life. I remember going to some UPN party or some event, and I mm-hmm. took somebody. I invited some woman to come with me, but by the end of the party, she was piggybacked on somebody else's back, kind of like joking around. Like I didn't leave with her. Basically, I brought her to the party, but yet she, you know, something happened and next thing you know, she was off with somebody else. So, you know, I had a parallel in my own life pretty much of Mirena.
We've all had our Mirena moments.
We've all fallen in love with a holodeck character. That's Harry. Right. Okay. All right. We go back to the bridge. Now we're figuring out the dampening field that we have noticed occurring in this nebula, this evidently naturally occurring dampening field.
Yes, and it's still so beautiful. Everybody thinks it's gorgeous and it's stable. It's long lasting, this thing. And then we want to get a little closer to a part of it. I can't remember. Janeway wants to go.
I think we're leaving now. I think she says we're done. We've seen this enough. We've got to get away from it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So she's like, let's get out of here. She turns to Paris, you know, warp 3 or whatever she says.
Right.
Paris can't get any propulsion.
No propulsion.
Nothing.
No. Done. So she sends Harry down to engineering to help B'Elanna because she asked B'Elanna what's going on, right?
Yep.
So Harry goes down there, but he is so preoccupied. So B'Elanna basically.
B'Elanna and Vorik.
Yeah.
They figure it out, those two, those nutty kids.
That's not a good coupling. You know why, Robbie? Because, like, you know how we do the hybrid name, right? So B'Elanna and Vorik becomes Borik, which is close to boring. Okay.
Yeah,
boring, Vorik. You don't want that.
No.
Okay. Or Varana. That doesn't sound right.
No.
Right?
No.
No. Okay.
All right. So yes, in engineering, they discover that there's a failure in the computer pathways and they have all this tech talk. And then they Harry pipes in and he's like, hey, I think there's a failure in the computer pathway. Yeah, she's like, yeah,
I just that's said what that. Harry, just go home. Yeah. So that's what he did.
He cannot get her off his mind. He says, I cannot stop thinking about her.
Nope.
So he heads to his quarters. He's in the turbo lift, headed to his quarters, tells the computer, take me up to wherever, deck, whatever. And he's like, computer, pause. No, take me to the holodeck. Changes his mind.
Yeah.
Heads down to the resort.
Yeah, and the holodeck. Well, let's just also say the holodeck program is running. Which is
he tries to start it. He says, "Computer, start the holodeck program," and the computer says, "That program is already running."
It's already running.
What? Mm-hmm. What, Harry?
Oh,
yeah. He finds Marina playing Calto.
And I like how Bob shot that, because you see Marina playing the Calto. You don't see Tuvok sitting there because of that high back chair that he's, or that sofa thing that he's on, whatever he's sitting on. You don't see that he's there. And the reveal when Harry comes over, then he sees Tuvok there. And that's the moment where Harry loses it, you know, because
he does. That's exactly what I wrote down. Harry loses it.
He does.
He's really hurt.
Yeah.
He's angry. He really lets loose on Tuvok.
He does.
And Tuvok feels very apologetic. You rarely see Tuvok.
He got emotional.
He got emotional.
Like he got wrapped up in my emotion. So the Vulcan,
like, I'm sorry. I'm really, not what I was doing. He sprung to his feet, right?
Yeah. I mean, the minute I started walking, he chases me out of there.
He chases
very un-Vulcan-like, you know, which then leads me to think that he does consider Harry his friend. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
If you don't care about somebody, would you really chase after them and say, like, oh, wait. And he kind of, you know, sidestepped his typical Vulcan stoicness and becomes so emotional in that little, like, no, you're not reading this right. This is not what you think it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And Harry just feels disrespect that, you know, the respect and the trust.
Well, Tuvok says, computer, delete Marina, delete this character, get rid of her.
Yes.
He doesn't say shut her down.
He didn't say shut her down. He said delete her. Yeah.
Kill her.
Right.
He's literally in that moment.
Get
rid of this character for good.
Yeah, right. So he's basically doing that thing, like, look, you know, no woman's coming between our friendship. Yeah. We're guys, we're buds, you know, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to completely eliminate this character from existence. Right.
Yep.
Gone. And Harry doesn't buy it. Harry's like, that's great that you did that, but it doesn't help. It doesn't help the situation. The damage has been done.
That's right.
Sorry, but you have disappointed me. Bye-bye, Tuvok. So he leaves.
We go back on the bridge now. Still no propulsion.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the cuts, the close-ups between Tuvok and Harry giving each other the stink eye on the bridge. Oh, it was so funny. They both were like barely paying attention. And finally, B'Elanna says something like, oh, I got the aft thrusters to respond.
Yeah.
It's going to be slow, but we can get away from here really slowly. Like, you know, it might take us till tomorrow. The stink eye shots were funny.
The stink eye shots, they were great. We jump from the bridge to Tuvok's quarters. Tuvok walks in, and lo and behold, Marina is there wearing the same color uniform as Tuvok and the mobile emitter from the doctor, right?
Yeah, and she says she downloaded her program into
sick bay,
and then took the doctor's mobile emitter, and that's how she got there.
Yep.
And she's talking about, she says something like, you know, you've opened up a whole new world to me, you are a whole new world. And she's caressing this tapestry on the wall. And I was like, why is she caressing a tapestry? Like, go caress Tuvok. But like, I don't know. You've seen a tapestry before, probably.
Maybe funny. Not that tapestry. Maybe that was a Vulcan tapestry. So she was very intrigued.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Tuvok. And she gets right up there again. You feel like they're going to kiss. and her hand is up when it's just a knee. Mm-hmm. He pulls her hand away and hits his comm badge and calls a security team in, intruder alert. And she freaks out. Like, why did you do this? She's very mm-hmm. hurt, mm-hmm. very, very hurt about it. And the security team walks in, phasers drawn. Mm-hmm. And just as they enter, she disappears and the holo emitter
drops down.
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah. So now we jump to the conference room where mm-hmm. we are just trying to figure out who on earth is Mirena or what is Mirena. We talk about the fact that in Next Generation, Picard deals with a holodeck character. Yeah, he lost
control of his ship to a holodeck character.
Took over the ship. Yeah.
And Chakotay puts it well. He says she's a sentient computer program.
Yeah.
That's what he calls her.
That's what he thinks it is, yeah.
A sentient computer program. Mm-hmm. And then Harry says, yeah, we studied that Enterprise-D case at the Academy.
Yeah.
So she basically is manipulating everything, the entire ship computer from inside the holodeck, that this sentient character is able to access the ship's computers mm-hmm. and control all of these things. Mm-hmm. So
Janeway's still kind of perplexed. She's like, so what's the purpose of how did this happen? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then that's when Tuvok sort of reveals his side of the story, which is, well, it all has to do with me and Mirena's feelings towards me. And that's when Harry gives the best look of all, when he's just like,
you were like so defeated and
great. Yeah, she's in love with you. Thanks a lot. I went to you for help and now she falls in love with you, my mentor.
It was a good moment.
It was a good moment. And Bob Picardo captured that moment brilliantly. So yes. That was good.
And Harry also says at the end of the scene, he says, you know, she first appeared the day that we got to the nebula.
Right.
So this nebula has something to do with it.
I love how I picked my background as a bit of a nebula, and I had no clue that there was a nebula involved in this episode before.
I know. And I've sort of got a bulbous little nebula light
like thing, even though it's the caretaker, but it looks nebula like. Yes.
Yeah.
So now we go back to Holodeck 1, where it's Tuvok, Paris, and Torres, who have been sent there by Janeway to figure out what the heck's going on.
Yes. Phasers drawn.
And
the program.
That's so quiet and creepy. And Torres discovers there's a subspace signal from coming from somewhere off the ship, serving as an uplink. So this is what's going on. Someone's tapping into the ship from outside of Voyager. And that's when the Luau characters attack. And I don't know if it was written in the script, but my God, how scary was that?
They were so creepy.
She's like,
they're smiling and walking around.
As I strangle you. And yes.
Yes.
And you got your ass kicked basically by
I got knocked down by a fruit bowl. The guy took a bowl of fruit and
smacks you across the face,
socked me in the I thought in the chest, like knocked the wind out of me or
because
I basically was down on the ground for most of this fight.
And the hula lady just kicks you while you're down. She kind of like, kicks you.
Yes, I get kicked by the girl.
Yeah, you get kicked by
the
girl.
Smiley girl.
Right. But then someone else, another girl comes to you and tries to kick you and you grab her.
I flip her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So flip her by her foot.
Yeah.
And then I fire at the control panel because I got to do something heroic there.
Did you feel bad that you actually hit a girl or flip a girl? Did that make you?
It's funny when I saw that, I did remember some of this fight. And I do remember it felt strange to be like, because they're smiley and they're they just look so friendly, and here I am like flipping. I'm sure it was a stunt woman that we flipped, but I do remember feeling a little like, this is a weird fight. It was not a normal normal fight.
Mm-hmm. I also think it's extra creepy because if you think about the collective consciousness of anybody who watches this show, most Americans have made a trip to Honolulu. They've experienced Hawaii. A lot of Americans have, and they know what the luau is like, and they know how pleasant and kind and smiling and relaxed the Hawaiian people are, mm-hmm. how gracious they are. And that really feeds into this creepiness of this scene, because never in your life would you expect a Hawaiian luau hula woman or fire dancer guy to go crazy and try to kill you, right? So I definitely felt a little creeped out watching this whole thing.
So I fire at the control panel to try to shut it down. And then we retreat back to the bridge. And we realize that Mirena must be on a hidden ship or something. And she's using the holodeck controls to invade the ship's computers. And she wants Tuvok on the holodeck alone.
Yeah. Now, our inertial dampeners are offline when we're on the bridge. And another, I think, line number four comes in this scene on the bridge from Chakotay, where there's a huge close-up on him. And he's like, she's been using the Mirena character like a puppet, is what he says, right?
yes.
Love that sigh. I love that line. Yeah. Okay. So then, come to the holodeck alone or I will destroy your ship.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. And then he gets Tuvok, very cautiously comes onto the holodeck and they're all alone. And basically she's like, this is our world. Like, I want you and I need you. And it's you and me here on this holodeck. Like, this will be our world. Like, that's how it's going to be.
Yeah.
And Tuvok's trying to, reason with her and they go back and forth. But then eventually we realize B'Elanna finds the source of this uplink. So we know where whoever is off on some hidden ship or something who's been creating all of this problem, B'Elanna finds the source of that uplink and we transport Tuvok to the source of it. So he appears in this hallway, this mysterious hallway on some ship. Clearly it's some kind of tech ship, or a station or something.
Yes. Let me just rewind it back in the resort program before we get to Mirena Station. Another great line when Tuvok says, any attempt to generate intimacy between us will not be successful. And I just kept thinking, what if people were to use Vulcan-like lines in real life? Where, if someone was at a bar and someone was trying to make an unwanted advance, and the person said, I'm sorry, but any attempt to generate intimacy between us will not be successful. I mean, if to use these Vulcan-like ways of saying
things in real world
would be funnier than heck. Yeah. That would be a great candid camera, sort of a hidden camera thing where you had an actor at a social situation where everything that came out of his mouth was spoken like a Vulcan and they had no clue what the heck this guy was doing. It would be really, I think it'd be a funny scene. So, all right. So let's jump back to the station, Mirena Station inside the nebula.
They're on the station. And he's kind of creeping down and no one's around on the station. No. It feels like an empty ghost ship.
Yeah.
And then he comes into sort of this control area and sees from behind a lone figure sitting in front of the controls of the station. And just then the nebula outside explodes again. And on the bridge, they say the shields are gone. Shields are down.
Yeah.
Not down. They're gone. They have more shields.
Yeah.
If there is another explosion, Voyager will be toast.
It's toast, exactly.
And,
but I also find it so interesting that the whole purpose of why she's there is to maintain that nebula so it doesn't explode in order to keep it intact so the people from her home planet can look at this and say, it's like how beautiful it is.
Yeah, she's like a park ranger. That's what I said. She's basically like a park ranger who's stuck in this lookout.
Yeah.
And she's lonely. She's deeply lonely. And she looked the makeup when we see her finally when Tuvok walks around and we see the look of this woman. She looks lonely. It was a great makeup, I thought, by Mike Westmore. It looked very sad. It kind of looked lizard-like. I also noticed, did you see her fingers? She had prosthetics on her fingers, so they were longer, which we've talked about in the past sometimes. They never do, they might put some makeup on the fingers, but they don't do prosthetic hands very often.
But they did for her.
They did for her. She had like these 10-inch fingers
or something. And, my recollection was that when we did reveal her, that she was in, I remember her being much, like, if you look at her color scheme of the makeup, it's light in the teeth.
Very white.
It's white here. But my memory was she was almost entirely very dark complected. I didn't remember any lightness. Now, when I look at her makeup now that I see it, 25 years later, I look at the makeup and I think, kind of looks like the face of a Hirogen, which we haven't seen.
Yeah.
They haven't been introduced yet, but it looks like a Hirogen warrior face. But then the rest of it with all the hair kind of looks like, I don't know if you remember Battlefield Earth.
That
movie with John Travolta. Uh-huh. It looks like John Travolta.
Like the dreadlocky
hair. His dreadlocky hair going on mixed with a Hirogen from Voyager. So that's what I saw. And she's, you know, her whole thing is, I want you. And I want you, and I want you. I want you yesterday. I want you today. I want you to tomorrow. I want you to stay with me.
Yeah, she says you're like nothing I've ever encountered before. Mm. I can't live without you.
Yeah, yeah.
And she also says you have to want to be with me. Like that's part of what she, you know, what she needs is to be wanted and cared about.
Yeah.
And he says to her, you know, if you really understood what I am, meaning a Vulcan, then you would know that can never happen.
Correct.
I can never want to be with you. I can never feel what you want me to feel.
But she doesn't care. It's very interesting, but she doesn't care. Marina doesn't care. Not until he says, if you truly care for me, you would not pursue this course of action.
Yeah.
That is the moment when she sits there and thinks, he's right. I do care about him. I do love Tuvok. If I truly love him, why would I cause this havoc and craziness and upheaval in his life just because of my love for him? If I really love him, I'm going to let him go. And so she does do that. And that's, you know, thank goodness for all of us. And I think that when we come back to the bridge, the only person who really played that moment, was invested in that moment was Torres. Torres is the only one that she's like, oh, because she's, you know, breathing that sigh of relief because we had no shields. We were one step away from annihilation, right?
Yep.
But
yep.
I felt that, you know, the way I played, everyone else's reaction was very kind of flippant or almost like, oh, we're alive. You know, there wasn't that gravitas there. And I felt like you could track it with Torres's reaction.
But
I wish I had reacted a little bit differently. So that's kind of a bit of a do-over for me. Yeah, for sure.
So Tuvok goes back to, you know, he convinces her to let the ship go, and he goes back to his routine playing Calto, and we're back on the holodeck, and we see Tuvok inviting Harry to learn Calto.
Aww.
And he apologizes, says, I fail to respect the complexity of your emotions.
Right.
They sit down to play Calto, and then a cute holodeck girl comes over as the two friends sit down.
Yeah.
She says, hi, may I join you? And they both in unison go, no.
Oh, right. It shows everything is copacetic. It's all good. We're now both saying the same word at the same time.
Yes.
Because earlier it was me saying yes, Tuvok saying no. Then are you guys coming to the luau? Harry saying yes, Tuvok saying no. And now it's Tuvok and Harry in unison saying no together. So all is good on Voyager. There you go.
What is your theme for this episode?
Wow.
I'll tell you my theme.
You go first.
The theme, the lesson, the thing to remember, the takeaway for this episode for me is loneliness can be very dangerous.
Mm.
That the loneliness that she felt, moved her to do very bad things. She said to Tuvok, it's not the first time.
Oh yeah.
She is so lonely that she's, you know, breaking into people's computers and doing things that are not kind, that are not, that don't have integrity, loneliness can just be very dangerous. Loneliness, even for Harry or Tuvok there, the lack of sort of feeling the support and connection of friendship or of romance in their lives or whatever. So to me, that's my takeaway is like, be cautious, you know, if I see signs of loneliness, that I should be cautious because, you know, I don't want to get too far down that hole because, you know, bad things can happen, I guess. That's my theme.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Yeah, I also think that The other theme is just really to have open communication with your friends, to be able to explain. Like Tuvok should have come up and said, "Hey, by the way, I'm playing Kalto with Mirena." You know, if he'd come, if he'd kind of come clean instead of, because it did seem a little underhanded. You know what I'm saying? So and of course, from his standpoint, he's not trying to get with Mirena. He's just intrigued, and he has somebody to sort of match his wits in a way, you know? Yeah. So that's
It's interesting because he talks when he convinced her to free the ship and, you know, not do bad things.
Yeah.
He talks about, you know, I have a wife and a family, you know, back on Vulcan. I have a mission to complete. I have family. And so on one level I was like, oh, it's interesting. I wonder if, because we saw Tuvok playing Kalto alone in his quarters. On some level, he exposed himself to loneliness, that he wasn't playing Kalto with you, with Harry. He wasn't hanging out, you know, he had sort of isolated himself, just like she said in that scene. Tuvok had put himself, whether or not the Vulcans can feel loneliness, it was a similar state of being where he was isolated and disconnected from people, and he exposed himself to, you know, to falling for her in a way too.
So really this is kind of character development for Tuvok, because now he's kind of realizing, hey, I need some interaction, I should include people in my activities, and so he brings Harry into it, right? So it's a little it's a nice piece of character development for Tuvok, really.
Well, that was a fun episode. I actually really enjoyed that episode.
I really did.
I thought Bob did a great job. I thought the performances were good. It was spread out and included all of our cast.
Yeah,
for the most part. You know, Cass and the Doctor probably had the least to do. We didn't see much of them, but for the most part, everybody was involved in this, I thought.
Yeah.
In a nice way. And
So what's your rating? What's your rating on this?
I would give this an 8 out of 10.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm going to go a little lower. I'm probably going to go around 7, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Just a little bit. But overall, everyone got to do something in this episode. Yeah. You know, they utilized everybody, which is what we'd like to see. We like to see utilization of all the series regulars in each episode, if possible.
They all have something to contribute. I think all these characters bring a different flavor and a different point of view that's great to see in every episode. So,
excellent.
Awesome. Okay. Well, that was fun. What's next week?
Next week, guys, join us as Robbie and I will be reviewing the episode Coda.
Have a great week, guys.
Thanks, guys.